We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
So as we wrap up 2016, we thought it would be fun to talk about the year in review, looking at everything that changed in our lives this year, talking through some events that happened that were both highs and lows, and talk about hopes for the new year. You know, this type of exercise, we talk about this in context of going on a retreat. Sometimes people aren't able to get that time away, you know, and to go and spend a couple days doing it. So I feel like even taking 2 hours and going to a coffee shop, you know, well, it's not going to compare to the kind of the reflection and the insight you might get out of a full retreat. I do think this type of thing is helpful for just reminding ourselves, you know, perhaps what we're thankful for over the past year and the things we struggled with the thought of doing more of the former and less of the latter.
And I think around New Year's is a nice time to do this kind of practice. You know, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions or on sort of making a big deal about how life is going to be totally different or change as of January 1. But I do think there's a rhythm of reflection that can be helpful to kind of build into your year, and that around the new year is a great time to go on a retreat, or it's a great time to just sit and reflect on what over this last year, over this big giant chunk of time, what has gone well and what has not gone well. You know, we have great conversations about this when we talk about it together. So I think this is also a great practice for families to do together, to really look back at your calendar over the past year and look back at your photos and sort of think, what were our moments that we really want to hold on to? And what are the things that we learned? There's lots of ways to phrase this kind of question, but I think the practice is really very much about reflecting.
Yeah, we typically look at the highs and the lows, but you raised a good point as we were talking about this. It's difficult to do it this year because especially in our lives, many of the events that happened are both. They're combinations of simultaneously being, you know, or going back and forth, being a high and a low. And, you know, a good example of that is the sale of Drip, the sale of my startup to Lead Pages. Probably had, you know, some of the highest highs and lowest lows of the year all wrapped up in basically one event.
Yeah, I agree. The Drip sale really doesn't fit neatly in one category or another. There were moments where it was just super exciting and exhilarating that this was happening, and then other moments where the toll that it took on you in particular and the amount of mental energy and focus really, really was a low. I think looking back, I'll talk about this when we talk about lows, but like it's been one of the most stressful years on record that we've had in a long time. And I think the Drip sale was a really big part of that. So on one hand, it has changed our lives. You know, it's brought us to a new city. It's changed our financial situation. Like there's lots of great things that have gone into that experience, but it was also a ton of work and a ton of anxiety.
Yeah. Another event that was like that was the actual then move across the country from California to Minneapolis. And while this has brought a lot of fun things, I'll actually reference a few of them when I talk about my highs. Moves are really hard. Like no matter how you do it, no matter how much money you spend, no matter how much you hire people to do stuff, it is still a tremendously stressful thing. And we've moved a lot. There was an 8 or 9 year span where we moved once or twice a year. I mean, we moved 10 times in 9 years or something like that. And we got pretty good at it. And it still, you know, never ceases to be a very hard experience, both for our kids and, you know, I would say for us as well.
I think another high-low thing for me has been this transition to growing my consulting practice and to move away from a job that I loved and was really happy in, which is sort of the low piece of it, but moving into something new and something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I think the move just was the springboard to say, hey, this is the perfect sort of time and opportunity to double down on this part of my work and spend more and more time working with founders. So there's been great like feedback, and I feel like I've been as busy as I want to be, and I've gotten to work with amazing clients. So it's definitely been a high, but man, it's also stretched me, and I'm having to learn new things and do new things and kind of understand what it's like to be an entrepreneur myself and grow a business. And all of those things have been kind of growing pains and high and low moments.
Yeah. What have been the low moments around that? Because I've seen you, I don't know, be really interested and excited in it. And it's been kind of cool to see more and more people getting in touch with you, and you're able to do speaking and stuff. So I haven't seen a major downside to that. But what is it that you've experienced?
I wouldn't say they're big lows. I think it's more growing pains than lows. Like, you know, as I've talked about in previous podcasts, like just really figuring out how to get comfortable talking to people about money and, you know, realizing that I am a non-technical person who's going after a technical market and I really need like to get my website in order. And those are things that I'm not good at and don't know how to do. So I've had lots of moments of like asking for help and being patient and realizing that while I have this really strong skill set that I'm really excited about and proud of, alongside of it, in terms of like what it means to run a business, there's all of these other skills that I just don't have experience in and I'm learning, or maybe I'm just not good at it all and need to get help with.
Right. That makes sense. So it's kind of wandering out into unknown territory. And when things are unknown, it can get a little daunting, it sounds like.
Yeah. And again, I wouldn't call it like a low, low, but I would just say it's one of those mixed experiences. Like, hooray, we're moving across the country and that's going to significantly change what my career looks like. And I have to like just sort of jump off the deep end and figure it out, even though there are things that I'm doing that from a technology or from a business standpoint are really new and stretching me.
Cool. Now let's talk about a few things that were highs, just highs, not combination highs and lows. The first one we threw down here is reconnecting with old friends. And that's been kind of fun here in Minneapolis. We have a few folks we know that we haven't seen in years. And it's like we resumed the relationships where we left off. And I think it's been nice to have people that know us from way back. And it took a long time for us to find that in Fresno. And it really didn't find it with many people. And, you know, we were there for 7 years. And already just in the past 4 or 5 months since we've been here, I feel like we have some good deep friendships because of the, you know, of knowing people before we moved here and having been good friends with them, let's say 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. I've also enjoyed the experience of making new friends. It's slow going for sure, but you know, like I have just decided to take initiative and like invite people to coffee and be that weird, overly friendly person. But as a result, I feel some like good connections with people in my neighborhood or people who are sort of friends or in my more extended network. So that's been a fun thing about being in Minneapolis and being in a new city is just getting to meet a whole new crew of people and making some new connections.
I think another high for me, while I know, you know, we already said this came with lows, it's just, it really is a data point on my timeline as a person, you know, only when I graduated from high school and college and when I got married and when we had kids and stuff, but like, this is one of those, like a momentous occasion was selling Drip. I mean, it was a culmination of what I view as like 15 plus years of entrepreneurship. And kind of every effort that I had made all up until that point, and all the money and all the time I invested really was moving towards that point of having an exit big enough that it, you know, in essence is a life-changing event. And so looking at the plus side of that, just having that happen and having that under my belt was definitely a momentous, you know, momentous occasion for the year.
I mean, it's a really big thing to have accomplished, and I'm really proud of you. And I think you feel some of that pride in yourself too, to get to this point from where you began, like with the beach towel website and the bonsai tree website and the duck boat plans, like all of the scrappy little things that you've done over the last 15 years.
And that's not even where I began. You know, I think about me starting just as this developer straight out of college, not having any social skills, not knowing or business skills at all. And basically just like muddling my way through whatever it took and writing code for hire. And then, you know, making $50 an hour as a contract developer. I mean, you know, and then just kind of continuing to just follow this path.
What other highs have been part of your year this year?
I had forgotten how much fun it is to move to a new city and be able to explore it, and especially a city like a world-class city. You know, we moved a lot when we first got married, and, you know, we lived in Sacramento, we lived in Pasadena, lived in Boston, New Haven, Connecticut, and then we were in the same place for 7 years in Fresno. And so to move to Minneapolis, where there's amazing food, just dozens and dozens of phenomenal restaurants. There's really, really good coffee here. Like there's, I don't even know, you know, dozens of coffee shops that make the best coffee I've ever had every time, right? And all the homemade ice cream places and the bands that are coming through here and the venues that we're able to see. And we enjoy these things. We enjoy like getting out and having been able to do that, especially, you know, now that it's cold, we're slowing down a little bit, but especially when it was warm. I mean, we were going, it felt like we were going to a new restaurant, like once, twice a week. We were going to shows a couple times a month, and we have not had more babysitters, you know, in the past, like several years in Fresno. I think we had as many babysitters as we've had in like 5 months of being in Minneapolis in terms of the numbers of nights that we, not the quantity of sitters, but the numbers of nights we've had people hanging out with our kids, and our kids love it, of course. So it's a good thing for everybody.
Because there's something going on like every Friday and Saturday night. So, you know, we have to go places.
That's it. And that's what I've really enjoyed. Like when I think back about, you know, what's been the highlights, kind of exploring the city with you, to be frank, has just discovering these new things and going to these places and walking around downtown and driving all over. It's been super cool.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a lot of fun this year. And one of my big wins for the year was buying the paddle boards. Like, I totally loved having the paddle boards. As soon as we moved to Minneapolis, like before the living room was unpacked, I bought 2 paddle boards. And man, we used those. Like, I probably went almost every day in the summer, even if I just popped out over to the lake for 30 minutes or something. And that was a really lovely way for me to, you know, sort of do something that I love, to be on the water, but also, you know, connect with the city that we live in and connect with our neighborhood.
Right. And it was awesome because we live a block from the lake, and then you could paddleboard over. If you had a child with you, you could paddleboard over to a playground, right? Kind of on the other side. And if you were hungry, you could paddle over to this restaurant where they have like tacos and seafood and stuff. And it was just a little snack shack thing with good food. So it was just this, it was a perfect excuse to get out and do something that was super fun, but almost kind of, I always felt like, hey, and there's kind of a point because I'm going to bring the kid to the playground, and it beats driving over there.
And we have all these funny pictures of our kids like reading books or listening to audiobooks on their iPods while they're sitting on the end of the paddleboard. And I think I will always, like, those are really sweet memories to me, like watching them sitting on the nose in their little life jacket, like just, you know, having a moment, like reading a book. And I don't know, I just think that's a pretty unique and cool experience.
Yeah, I will remember the paddleboarding, I think, you know, forever.
Similarly, one of my highlights from the year was a canoe trip that I took to the Boundary Waters. And that's this like area of lakes and rivers and streams that exist between the border of Canada and Minnesota. And so it was another like Minnesota experience that was just really like a really lovely way to say, oh my goodness, I like it here. This is beautiful and wild. And it was really fun to kind of backcountry canoe and have to portage the canoe. And I went with my friend Anna, who, if you're a Drip person, you know Anna as one of the key team members of Drip. But anyway, we had a great time. And that was definitely one of my highlights of the year.
What else? What's another high from last year? Looks like you have a few on here.
Well, you know, me, I'm sort of all about the travel. One of the other highlights was taking a group of college students and graduate students to Guatemala last spring. That was a really rewarding trip. Lots of meaningful interactions with the students, and it was a great learning experience for them. And I just am in love with Guatemala and love that I get to go back every couple of years. I also had a lot of really rewarding experiences at conferences this year. I had 3 or 4 conferences that I went to kind of all in a row in the fall. And each of them was just a really positive experience. And I felt like I've been honing my presentation skills and I'm growing in confidence and just my ability to be both really authentic and really creative when I'm giving a talk. So I've enjoyed that, and I'm grateful to have had the opportunities to really practice those skills this year.
Yeah, it's really fun to be so at something like that, like public speaking, and then to get better and better and feel more confident. And then, because not only do you feel better about doing it, but part of it is the additional impact it can have on people and the reaction you get and the conversations it leads to. I can totally see that. I know how that feels. And I've really enjoyed kind of watching you, you know, grow into that and see, you know, your talks improving and your delivery. And it's, I don't know, it's just been really fun to kind of see your personal brand growing in that space.
And I think my last highlight from this year, as I look back over my calendar, I looked back at the winter and spring, and every other weekend I have beach on my calendar. So we spent a lot of time at the beach when we lived in California, and those are really incredible, sweet experiences that I will love forever. Experiences of being in the water with the kids, of getting wetsuits and boogie boarding and surfing every now and then, and tide pools. And I mean, I know we've talked, if you listen to all of our episodes, you know that we talk about this a lot, but like, I just couldn't ask for better moments in a more beautiful place with the people I love most. So those are really important highlights from the year.
Yeah, that actually kind of leads us into our lows. My first one is leaving our beach apartment, you know, was packing that up. And I actually struggled a bit more emotionally with that than I had with leaving our house in Fresno, because there was something magical about having a place that wasn't your house and that was, you know, obviously right by the beach, which was amazing. And we just all relaxed there. Like I really had almost solely good memories in that place, just because when we'd show up, everybody went into vacation mode, you know, even if it wasn't vacation, even if we were going to be there for 4 or 5 days and, you know, it was during a week or something, it was just a magical place for us. And packing that up and leaving it, I remember thinking, man, we're really giving something up by making this choice.
Yeah, that was a hard one. I mean, you've had to give a lot of things up this year. And that's part of, the low of the drip sale is to go from, you know, being a founder in partnership with Derek to really having to open your hands up and let other people share the reins of your company.
Right. Yeah, that's been both easier than I thought. I mean, I think, you know, you hear a lot of acquisition stories, and I've talked to founders who've been acquired, and it can go very poorly. And this one has not. Like, it's actually been a very good transition, and giving up a lot of things just made perfect sense. Other things have been a lot harder to let go. It's been harder to, you know, see some of my teammates work with the transition and seeing the kind of pros and cons of that play out. And so, yeah, I would say that's definitely been kind of a source of just a lot of thought and a lot of mental energy that I've, you know, had to expend over the past 5 or 6 months since the acquisition closed.
Yeah, I think some of my lows are similar in the sense of leaving or giving up my directorship at the clinic where I worked and the training program that I'd built, the clientele that I'd built, kind of being in a community for a long time and having a great reputation and then needing to walk away from that and start over. I think it's only now, like almost in the last couple of weeks, maybe the last month, that I've really, really missed the team of mental health professionals that I worked with at the clinic. And so I think I'm really missing that camaraderie. I'm missing having a team, and I'm missing having like a very solidly well-established career, because now things feel much more fluid and exciting and good, but definitely some giving up of things that were comfortable and well-established. I think another low for me was just the difficulty of transitioning the kids to our new life. Even though, again, there's been lots of positive things about the move, like it was much harder on the children than I expected, and especially our youngest. You know, it felt like we regressed back to he's six, but we had all of these like 2-year-old tantrums for really like the whole summer months that are obviously a product of a stressed child who's experiencing transition that's hard for him. But man, it really, really wore me down. It kind of took some of the life out of me in terms of feeling like I had energy to make this transition and make things happen and keep everybody happy and well and together. He's doing much better now, but I think the summer months with him were super difficult for me. That was a low.
Yep, I would totally agree. I think we were all impacted by that, by how hard the transition was. How about for the world? You noted some things down, just looking, you know, back at some difficult times.
Yeah, I just, you know, I feel like there's a lot of memes going around about how like terrible 2016 was, but I really felt that this year. Definitely, like, I'm someone who has really followed the events in Syria and just, like, heartbreak after, like, one terror on top of another, watching that country just absolutely implode. I think, you know, there were also attacks in Europe, in Nice, which is a place that we love. It was also really difficult at some points to watch the presidential election and kind of the ugliness that was present. So I think there are many, many things that we could list, many, like, injustices and acts of hatred and just painful things that happened this year that I feel like I was awake to and taking in and sad about.
Yeah, and I think to kind of wrap this up on a high note, we have hopes for the new year. It's impossible to know what will go on over the next 12 months, but I think we have a good idea of some of the highs that we're going to experience that we'll look back a year from now and talk about these as being our highs. And I think the first thing that we've been very deliberate about this year is what we're calling winning winter.
Winning at winter.
Yes. And this, I think we got this expression from our friend Liz, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we stole it from her.
Yeah. So, and the idea here is just to be warm and hang out with friends and do things outside when it's warm enough. And warm enough these days, I mean, I think the feels like is 10 degrees today. And I, like, unzipped my jacket and took off my gloves. You know, you just get, when it's been 30 below, you just kind of get acclimated to it. And so that's the idea. We're out building snowmen and building a snow fort, and we want to go sledding. And there just are opportunities to have fun and not have, you know, not stay cooped up all the time. I think the first winter we ever did, when we were in New Haven back in 2007, it was like the hardest year of our marriage. And it took a real toll on us. We didn't have the right gear. We were cold, or we had a crappy apartment where the heat kept going out. There's a lot of stress. And then, you know, it was dark and you get, like, kind of depressed about that. And so we're just trying not to do any of that. And we're being very deliberate about staying active and really hanging out a lot with each other and with friends and doing fun stuff, you know, going to the movies, doing things, really kind of ramping it up, as well as travel, right? We're talking about trying to...
My strategy is 3 weeks on and 1 week off.
Yeah. It's not a bad way to think about it, you know, that I'm thinking once a month, like over Thanksgiving, we went to Florida. And then, you know, for the week of Christmas, New Year's, we're going to California. And then we have, what, 4 or 5 days at the end of January where we go to Cancun. And so at that pace, like, I think this is a much more sustainable place for us to live.
Small actionable goals, right?
That's it. We have some real smart goals here. Measurable.
I'm like just a broken record, but I am looking forward to more travel this year and some fun family trips, going to Cancun with the kiddos and the totally non-culturally relevant all-inclusive resort where we just can sort of pool hop and just hang out and have fun together as a family. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to, like, all of the adventures that we will have together as a family. I'm hopeful that I'll get some more opportunities to speak and grow my consulting practice and, you know, get on lots of airplanes, because that seems to be something I like to do. And I'm also hopeful this year to do some more writing. That was an aspiration I had for 2016 that sort of got drowned out by the move and the other chaos that was going on. So I'm going to give it another go in 2017 and try to do some more substantive writing.
Yeah, I could see that. It seems like you've been doing a little so far, and it's starting to ramp back up for you. So I can see that having legs. I think the only other thing for me that I've just started a new one, like, I don't want to tackle any new projects, but I have been going kind of thinking back to my roots and, like, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, what did I like to do? And a lot of it was starting businesses or thinking about starting businesses. And another thing was writing. I mean, I used to write fiction and through even into high school. And then I wrote comic books in college. Most people don't know that, but I got paid to write a few comic scripts for independent publishers. And then, you know, really started blogging early on in 2005 and just wrote and wrote and then wrote two books. So I don't want to attack a project. I don't want to set goals about it. I just don't have the energy to do it, like, to say I'm going to blog once a week or anything like that. But I've been wondering, like, when am I going to come back to that? Because I think I think I just have to do it. Like, I'm the person, that's one of my things, right? That I just, it's something I can't avoid. So I do have, I think, some hopes for sometime in the next year to start doing some type of writing, even if I don't publish anything, just to get back into, you know, some type of way, you know, a groove of communicating myself in writing.
I guess we're going to have, like, a writing club.
Seems like it. This could be good. That's the best way to go. Writing mastermind.
Yeah, I think another high to share is just the fun that we've continued to have doing Zen Founder together and the ongoing positive responses that we get from you all, the listeners, whether it's iTunes reviews or support on Patreon or just the emails that you send asking questions or commenting on the things that we've talked about. It's been really, really personally rewarding for me to feel like I have, you know, this community of people who cares about living well and being well, but is also really motivated to do cool and innovative things. And so it's been great to have this community and sort of have people out there in the podcast world.
Indeed. It's been a fun journey and we're almost 2 years into it now. So looking forward to continuing to doing it here in 2017.
And if you have topics that you'd love for us to tackle, don't hesitate to send us an email. We're sort of planning out the next couple of weeks and months and we'd love to hear from you. So you can always contact us at
questions@zenfounder.com.
Have a wonderful new year. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.